This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
J.G. Tate is the publisher for Auburn's Rivals site there, auburnsports.com. First of all, good morning, Jay. How are you?
Hey now. How are y'all doing?
Good. Jay's on the Bud Light Seltzer hotline. Your reaction to Gus Malzahn's soundbite there is what?
Yeah, I mean, my first reaction is we've heard this story about five times before. Ceding control of the offense, seizing control of the offense, back and forth, back and forth. But Chad's probably the only guy on this planet that I would actually buy that Gus would actually give him some autonomy. I mean, Chad, they go way back. Gus really trusts Chad, and Chad has shown that he understands the modifications that need to be made to Malzahn's system to make it work a little bit better. So I think he's going to have a lot of autonomy. I really do.
What do you think the end game is for Chad Morris?
I don't know as though he's really thinking that far ahead. I mean, listen, man, Chad's kind of a modest dude. He made more money at Arkansas than he ever expected. You know, I mean, when he set out to be a coach, he was coming from the old school where you're coaching because you just like football. And now he's got whatever he got paid in Arkansas, $20 million or something. He's the kind of guy, $20 million is going to go a long way. It's going to go generations for him. So I don't necessarily think he's trying to parlay this into some other high-paying gig. I think he's just trying to get better and learn things and maybe get a shot at being a head coach later down the line. But I think he's going to be here a little while. I really do.
It's a long way from midsummer, Gus Malzahn saying, I made a mistake giving up control of the offense, to getting here to where he's giving it up again after he beat Oregon, he beat Alabama, almost beat LSU, had a really tough schedule, had a really good year with a true freshman quarterback. I get the feeling you're telling me if this was anyone else, Gus Malzahn would still be calling plays. It had to be Chad Morris for him to give it up again. Is that close?
Yeah, it had to be Chad. It had to be Chad because of, the lengths. Chad became a head coach in the SEC, and I know it was a failure at Arkansas for the most part, but there's a lot that goes into that. I think as far as being an offensive mind, I would argue that Chad's better than Gus. He took a lot of Gus's ideas. I mean, the story's known that he went to Gus years and years ago and said, teach me. But then he made modifications where he used tight ends more. He did some different things in the running game. He is dedicated to taking shots down the field where Gus kind of said that initially, and in these last two or three years has been throwing way too many screens. So there are definitely some differences, and I think Gus trusts Chad that he was able to make the modifications before and that he'll be able to do it here and still be really good. I mean, look, Chad deserves to be calling plays. He's not some young up-and-comer. This guy's proved it at a very high level.
J.G. Tate is with us. You can follow him on Twitter at J.G. Tate. Read him at auburnsports.com, part of the Rivals Network. He's on the Bud Light Seltzer hotline. One of the most frequent complaints we've gotten about the Gus Malzahn offense, you mentioned shots down the field. Anthony Schwartz is a burner. People feel like he's not used enough in the deep passing game. That would be an obvious change that Chad Morris could make, and I don't know that there's any indication that's a change he would make, but it certainly would be an obvious one.
Well, yeah, first thing you got to do is make sure Flash is here next year.
Well, that's true. Football. I mean, could be running track.
There was some talk that he was going to actually get really serious about becoming an Olympic sprinter. I don't know if he's quite at that level. I mean, I know he's not right now. I don't know if he can max out and get to that level because those guys are they're really, really, really fast. But I agree with you completely. They should have used Flash more in the deep passing game because I know he can get open. I know he's really fast. I know he's very agile. I know he's very sharp. But he should be able to do that. But again, Gus just fell in love with screens, and I think part of that was because his run game wasn't what he expected, and he just tried to find ways to buff that up a little bit.
Well, you talk about that run game, and it seems like when Gus Malzahn has that fluid offense, he's got a dominant runner. You look at Chad Morris, he had a 1,000-yard guy last year with Rakeem Boyd. Who do you think is going to be that guy in the Auburn offense this year?
Yeah, I was thinking about this before we came on the air. I mean, I just don't. We talk about Auburn being RBU, and, I mean, obviously Auburn's put out a bunch of good tailbacks, but I just don't know if I see that guy right now. I mean, they got a lot of mileage out of Booby for a guy who was essentially a zero in recruiting. I mean, that's to their credit, but is he an A-number-one SEC guy? I don't think so, personally. And Cam Martin's gone, and I didn't think he was ever that guy. And then you've got DJ, who I had higher expectations for him. I thought he would come onto the scene last year and really show a lot. And I thought he was solid, but I just didn't find him as a game changer. So I guess the pressure becomes, on Tank Bigsby. Is he the kind of kid that can come in right away and give you that home run threat? He did that in high school. Can he do that in the SEC? I think there's going to be a lot hinging on how quickly Tank Bixby gets ready.
And obviously, Jay, Chad Morris could change this thinking perhaps, but is it fair to say that Gus Malzahn has been extremely hesitant about playing freshman running backs?
Oh, yeah. We make jokes about it on the beat where it's just, you know, these freshmen just sitting right on the bench. And, I mean, DJ didn't really get a shot this year until a bunch of things happened ahead of him. So, but I just don't know about DJ. I'm probably a little lower on DJ than most of the folks around the programs because – I feel like there's a lot of folks who think DJ is going to be great next year. I'm just a little skeptical. I didn't see that kind of burst that I expected. And the fact that he ran out of bounds at LSU just weirded me out a little bit.
Yeah, well, be careful because, you know, some people said that about Joe Burrow, you know, coming from junior to senior year. He flipped the script on us all there for a little bit. J.G. Tate's with us. He's always fantastic with us. The quarterback room, after Bo Nix, what does it look like next year? I mean, Bo's a guy that, you know, he throws his heart on the line, man. He'll dive for a first down and win the game for you against Oregon. That could turn up an injury any moment. What's after Bo?
Yeah, I know. I mean, we keep wondering, what are they going to do? I mean, are they going to really roll with Cort Sandberg? Seriously, the freshman that they signed out of high school, he's not going to be able to help next year. So I was thinking they would go out in the JUCO ranks and just pick up somebody, but they haven't done it yet, and I don't think they're going to do that unless something crazy happens in these next 2 weeks. So I reckon they're just going to roll with Cord and think that Bo, you know, he held up this year. He's a hell of a football player, and he fights really hard. And I know what you're saying. He's kind of a max effort guy, and he puts himself in harm's way, but they're just going to have to hope that he keeps it together. I mean, he's a hell of a football player. He really is.
I know going into 2019, there was a lot of optimism with the offensive line because of the experience coming back. Now you got four starters gone. What is the expectation for this offensive line in 2020?
Well, it's got to be good. I mean, it's got to be good because Gus wants to run the football and Chad wants to run the football. I mean, they're going to run the football, and they've got to be able to do it. I think that people are going to be surprised by this offensive line insofar as I think it's going to be solid. I don't think there's going to be a huge drop-off. And if they can get Broderick Jones, the big left tackle from Georgia, I think they've got a chance for him to come in and really kind of give them an anchor on the left side that, you know, that Prince Tega kind of conceded by the fact that he's going to the NFL. So they just got to get Broderick Jones, and it's going to be a dogfight, man, between Auburn and Georgia on that one.
J.G. Tate is on Twitter at J.G. Tate, where you tweet about the loss of Marcus Woodson, the defensive backs coach. You word it this way, tough loss for Auburn. He worked hard at Auburn and helped anchor the program's recruiting effort. Not to say he wasn't a quality on-field coach, but his loss will be felt the most in the recruiting room, you think?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, he's really good at both, and Marcus is such a good dude. He worked really hard, and it's a big loss for them. I think he's a very important assistant for them. He said no to FSU the first time. He said no to Lane Kiffin the second time, and then Florida State came back and said, man, we really, really need you. And, he's working for the guy at Florida State that hired him at Memphis, and he's back with the boys, so to speak, and I think it's a good move for him. And, you know, for Auburn, I think it's going to be Al Pogue or Zach Etheridge. Al Pogue worked at Auburn for a number of years, kind of behind the scenes, and now he's he's coaching at West Virginia. He was at Troy before that, and then Zach currently is at Houston, but he's kind of been working his way up, too. So two quality guys there they're going to take a look at, and I don't think Auburn's going to have to take a big step back, but Marcus was one heck of a recruiter and a really good coach, too.
All right, more on that as they look for those replacements. Like Jay just mentioned, you can follow it at auburnsports.com or Jay on Twitter at JG Tate. Always fun, Jay. Thank you for the time.
Appreciate you guys. Be good.
All right, buddy. Take care. JG Tate with us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. At your favorite retailer now, three flavors, strawberry, mango, or black cherry, only 100 calories, 2 carbs, and gluten-free.